We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel. We've got a lot to get into today. The WNBA lottery was just this weekend. We're going to get through some game recaps in college women's basketball, as well as some games to watch at the end of the pod. Cal, you ready?
Ready as always. Let's get into it.
All right. So our headline of the week is the WNBA lottery. The results are in. The top four picks are in with their respective teams. At number four, the Seattle Storm won that pick. Number three pick is going to the Phoenix Mercury. The number two pick is going to the LA Sparks. And Indiana gets the number one pick for the second year in a row. Obviously drafted Aaliyah Boston last year. We saw how successful that was for them. This feels super exciting that they get another number one pick. Cal and I are going to go through each team and kind of maybe talk about our predictions about who they might draft and just talk about their direction overall. And what better place to start than the Indiana Fever, who, like I said, have the number one pick. And I think it's pretty safe to say that they're probably going to go with the one and only Caitlin Clark. Cal, do you agree with that?
I do. Obviously, that's a cool picture, by the way, that you found of
Caitlin. I know, right? I like it's that. Super cool.
It's got to be Caitlin. I think there's not really any debate. Just like last year, number one pick's pretty easy. I'm so interested to see, you know, obviously Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston playing together. Let's just jump ahead, you know, and look at that. But also how the Fever build this team around them the next few years, because it's really, really important while they have those two on their rookie deals to build a winner, I think. That the Fever, like the time you get those two, and the time is now to start getting your team back into the playoffs and back on a trajectory towards contention. And the last time that we saw a team pick number one overall twice in a row was actually three times in a row, it was the Aces, and they turned that into a dynasty. So I'm not saying the Fever are necessarily going to do that, but if they're set up, if they play their cards right.
Yeah, they're in a good spot. I'm already excited thinking about that Aaliyah and Caitlin pairing. So I'm super interested to see. It's also been interesting to see like all the Fever players just being like, okay, now I can at Caitlin and be like, hey, what's up? I think it was like Erica Wheeler who did that. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember who it was. But it's also going to be interesting to see who stays on this roster as well, too. Because like all the Fever players can be like, oh, I'm so excited. But in the off season, and then after, like, what depending on what happens with the draft, like, do you see maybe a little bit of a roster shakeup in terms of like not wanting to be too guard heavy, or like maybe they look to acquire some other pieces, like you said, to build around Aaliyah and probably Caitlin moving forward? Do you see some kind of movement in the Indiana Fever's roster?
Yeah, I think there could be a little bit. I mean, I don't think the roster is going to look exactly like what it does today, obviously. And it will be very interesting to see what their free agency looks like coming up in a month or two here. But I mean, it's cool to see them having fun with it, like you said. And like people are talking about, like, obviously with Caitlin and the next few that we're getting into, like, other than I think there's one that we're going to talk about. I'll dangle it, but that doesn't have her COVID year left. I think the rest of them do. So there's always that chance that some of them stay. I don't think Caitlin's probably going to stay, but it wouldn't shock me if any of these players that we mention, we're going to talk about, I think, five players. It wouldn't shock me at all if at least one of them ends up not being in this draft. So just as like a disclaimer to our picks here, like this, at least for me, like that when we go through our next picks here, assuming everyone comes out, which I'm not sure is a safe assumption.
Yeah, that's going to be very, very interesting to see. So yeah, that's number one, Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark. How funny would it be if she was just like, let me take my extra year and mess everybody up? That'd be very, very interesting.
Yeah, like, I feel like she's probably the least likely to do it, but you never know.
Imagine she just woke up one day. She's like, I just feel like stirring things up a little bit.
I love Iowa. You know, who knows?
Okay, let's move on to pick number two, the LA Sparks. Obviously, it's been like a weird couple of years, I would say, for them, with them trying to figure out their direction. But we saw a lot of fun things with the Sparks this year, whether that was like Jordan Canada having a fantastic year. Like, obviously, NECA is still playing at a good level. They struggled with a lot of injuries this past year. I'm excited for Lexi Brown to hit the court again soon whenever she feels good enough. But who do you think the LA Sparks are going to pick with that number two pick? Because there are some interesting players that they could go in a direction with.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Paige Beckers versus Cameron Brink here. And I could see one or two others maybe working their way into that conversation that we'll talk about. But to me, I'm still going with Paige Beckers. I understand, like, she's had some injury concerns over her career. Obviously, she's looked very good this year and very healthy, knock on wood. But I think the talent outweighs those. And I think, and I'm going to talk about that with someone else too. In today, modern medicine, it's a marvel. I'm not worried about that. The injury stuff doesn't, you know, this young in someone's career doesn't really scare me off too much in terms of passing up on their pure talent. And that's what Paige Beckers is. Obviously, Cameron Brink is too. But Paige Beckers is someone who can, we saw her freshman year, what she could do. And we're starting to see that again in what hopefully becomes her first fully healthy season since then. On the defensive end, we're going to talk about the defensive end with her a little bit more later. On the defensive end as well, I don't think she gets enough credit for, but obviously shooting the ball and scoring and distributing, which she hasn't done as much this year because of Nika Mule, but she can really fill a lot of different roles in your backcourt. And I think that's going to be big. So I would take her.
Yeah. And I think on the injury front too, we've seen a lot of high picks come in with injuries and end up, you know, being fine and being important pieces. Like, whether that was like Kelsey Plum or Chelsea Gray or like Sabrina Ionescu, like, there's a lot of players that have gone very high in the draft that have struggled with injuries. And ultimately, like, you still need to go talent over anything else, because like you said, there's different factors, modern medicine. So some things just take time. I think also the LA Sparks, like, even let's say they draft her, like, it's not guaranteed that it's going to be like instantly successful. Like, there's a lot of different moves that may need to happen. And just like, it takes time to gel. We saw that with the New York Liberty, where they had all these new pieces. Like, time is such a big factor. And I think, like, we're all hoping that Paige has like a fully healthy year, because then that's another thing where it's going to be a lot of time for her to just kind of get more comfortable in preparation for the draft. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really worried about, you know, her future. I'm very excited for all of these players to become professionals. I'm very, very, like, I love the W. And so I, like, we saw, like, I think, like, with Aaliyah Boston, to go back to her again, like, there were a lot of expectations, and just seeing her surpass those with the Indiana Fever last year was so cool. So I'm super excited for this draft class too.
Yeah. So would you take Paige over Cameron Brink, number two?
It so depends for me, like how the rest of the Sparks roster shakes out. Cause like, you know, they have, you know, obviously like NECA, and they got Azure this year, and with Cam Brink, like I think she brings so much as well too. Like if I were a team, I would be like scrambling to pick her up. It's also like who is maybe aging out, like how many years is NECA gonna still play and things like that. Like there's also the factor of like taking a young player in and like kind of train them for the next level. So like thinking of like when Candace Parker was on the Sparks with like Lisa Leslie, like those kind of vibes. I'm lucky. I'm just happy I'm not a GM, because this is obviously actually like a very hard decision. I see, like on some days I would lean Cam, and then on other days I'm like, oh, Paige is like a really great pick too. So I don't know. Don't ask me that, Cal. I'm not a GM. I'm copping out.
I had to put you on the spot a little bit.
I'm doing a cop out.
Yeah, it's okay. I cop out every week on this show, so you get one of those.
It's my turn. It's my turn. Yeah. Honestly, I think, okay, here's my take. I think you can't go wrong with either of them. There's my take.
That's the correct take. That's a cop out, but that is the correct take. To what you said about like, you know, looking at the roster. I mean, on one hand, like any coach, I think will tell you, and this is correct, that you should, when you're this high in the draft, you should go with best player available, most talent. Doesn't really matter if they fit or what their position, and you start worrying about that when you get into the second round, whatever. But at the same time, that could at least break a tie if you really, really, really just feel like two players are there. There's just no separation, and what do? The very least that could break a tie. But even if you're breaking a tie, then it's like you said, do you go with the player who can, you know, you have a lot of players in that position for them to learn from, or you're thin at that position and you need it? I guess it depends on what your kind of timeline is. So it's going to be an interesting decision to follow for sure.
Absolutely. But speaking of Cam Brink, let's go to pick number three with the Phoenix Mercury. They are in an interesting position, I would say. I'm not really sure like how many years Diana Taurasi has left, and maybe that's something where they kind of think like, oh, is that where maybe they drop Paige instead if the Sparks end up going with Cam? Not sure. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on a potential Cameron Brink fit with the Phoenix Mercury, you know, especially with BG being there and all of that. And maybe just kind of like the future of the Phoenix Mercury, if we have like a sense of where they're headed, because obviously they didn't have the best year last year.
Yeah, the last couple of years, really. And to what you said, yes, if the Sparks draft Cameron Brink, the Mercury pick, I think gets pretty easy to take Paige. But for me, like I had Paige second, so I got Brink third. I think she fits fine, to be honest, with Brittany Griner. I mean, we've seen some stretches where like Bree Turner fits fine with Brittany Griner. You know, it's not like that won them a championship or anything, but they got pretty close actually with that front court a few years ago when the Sky beat them in the finals. So, and Cam Brink is, if Bree Turner works, Cam Brink's going to work. You know, that doesn't concern me in terms of like, oh, you have two shot blockers or whatever. What are you going to do? Like, Bree Turner is just a pure defensive rebounding big, and Cam Brink obviously been working on her shot. Free throws, she has come so far in her career, which I don't think it's talked about enough. She went from your typical like center who can't shoot free throws to making, what was it, 60 in a row or something like that. I have no doubt that she's going to be a good 3-point shooter at some point in her WNBA career. And to what you said about Diana Taurasi, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like she's got probably about as many years left as Caitlin Clark does, to be honest. But like on the other hand, whether she probably shouldn't. So Paige Beckers would probably help them more right away if they're going for that. But with the, you know, new owner, new GM, new coach, like, who knows what they're going for right away. So, yeah.
Also, I'm sorry, but can we talk about the girl dad stuff with Phoenix and why that is continuing to be a thing? Like, bringing his daughter at the lottery. Like,
if you're not watching, like, YouTube, I'm thumbs downing while Korea's talking.
I find it to be very odd. I don't really understand why that was a thing with, like, hiring the head coach. And also, I guess we didn't really talk about this, but Kristy Tolliver is also going to be on the coaching staff for the Phoenix Mercury, which I think is great. It's kind of sad that she's had to, like, kind of end her career a little bit quieter like that with the injuries and all that. But that is something good for the Phoenix Mercury that I did want to add before maybe going too hard down on them. But that'll be an interesting environment next year. I will say that.
It could go a lot of different ways. Put it that way. Good. Kristy Tolliver, I think, will go only one way, and that is great. I think that's great.
Yeah.
All the other stuff could go a number of different ways.
Yeah. So we'll leave it at that with the Phoenix Mercury. Let's go to pick number four with the Seattle Storm. What do you have going at number four, Cal?
So this is another one, like the number two pick, where I think there's a couple players you could look at. At the end of the day, I'm the same thing I said about Paige Bueckers. Like, I'm going with the talent over the injury concerns. And so I'm going with Rekia Jackson. I know she's hurt right now. She only played two games this year, and who knows when we see her back. But to me, just her versatility and just what she brings on both ends, the different, like, she can guard multiple positions. I think she's just going to be a great fit in the league, and her game really translates to the pro level. So that's who I would take. But we have to mention Camila Cardoso here too. I think someone who's been rising up draft boards fast, someone who I would give a long, hard look at if I have this pick, and someone who, I mean, this is another one, like you said, I don't know if you can really go wrong. I don't think it's necessarily the wrong pick to take her in the lottery, but I'm going with Rekia if I'm the GM.
Yeah, I like those two picks. Obviously want Rekia to be back healthy. I think, I'm not sure what the latest update is on her, but I think she's, like, ramping up slowly, just based on Cora's reporting. So hopefully we get to see her back soon. There's been a lot of injuries in college basketball this season so far.
So many.
Like, especially in the last couple of days too. Like, it's been awful to see. So I'm hoping that players just stay healthy and recover quickly. But yeah, no, even with the Camila Cardoso, like, it's been cool to see her now that she has a bigger role this year. Like we talked about before with Aaliyah being gone, just to see her kind of blossom and be, one of the leaders on this team has been super cool to see. Like, she's going to be a good pro as well. I don't know who has a number five pick off the top of my head, but I assume she would probably go pretty high in the draft as well, too.
Yeah, is it the Sky?
It might be. I haven't memorized the whole thing.
The Sky don't have their own pick, do they? Yeah, I should have looked that up before, too.
I was just thinking about that right now. But
you're right. I don't remember either. It might be the Wings.
New York has the 11th pick. That's what I know, because of my little New York bias. That's the one I paid attention to. But anyway. Lots of tangent, but yeah, no, these five players that we kind of talked about, Caitlin, Paige, Cam, Rekia, and Camila Cardoso, I think are all really good picks to go high in the draft. I'm really excited to see all of their pro careers and also the rest of their college careers, of course, because we are very much not done that. It'll be interesting to see which of their teams in college goes the farthest in March Madness and how quickly the turnaround is, because I think the draft is set for April 15 next year, which is always, like, as always, very close to the NCAA championships weekend. We'll see which of their teams. Yeah.
The turnaround that some of these players have, and most of the players we mentioned are on teams that are probably going to make a pretty deep run. So
exactly. Yep, exactly. But yeah, those are our picks for WNBA lottery results. Let us know if you hate our picks, if you have other players you wish that will go that high, if you agree with our picks, feel free to tell us.
I love when you invite the haters.
Of course, I have to.
Haters are welcome here.
Comments sometimes. But anyway, we're okay. We can take it. We're not GMs, so it's all fun and games here. But we just like to talk. But and hopefully provide some good analysis. But yeah, those are our picks. Some of the players that we're thinking about that are probably gonna be in the top five of the WNBA draft. The top four picks are out. All the picks are out. And so yeah. Coming up next, we're going to go back to college. We're going to coast through college and do some game recaps from the weekend.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right. So we had the Basketball Hall of Fame Women's Showcase Series on Sunday, December 10. We previewed these three matchups on last week's podcast, but we're going to go through each one. UCLA defeated Florida State, South Carolina defeated Utah, and UConn defeated North Carolina. Let's start with the first one, UCLA versus FSU. FSU. I kind of took this one, and no shade to FSU, but I'm just going to extract UCLA from this matchup, and then I'm going to extract South Carolina and place forward the question, which contender between these two would you have in front right now and why? Because it feels like, at least to me, when I'm watching UCLA and South Carolina, no matter who they're facing, these two teams seem to be the one that are like most similar in versatility, most like able to close out and execute down the stretch. And they seem to be the more dominant teams right now. So Cal, which of them would you have in front right now and why?
They are. And I would have South Carolina, but you know, we made it as of right now, exactly 20 minutes and 0 seconds without bringing up Mark Schindler, but here we are. I got to bring up Mark Schindler. Mark has been saying this for a while, that these are his top two teams. And when he first brought it up, my thought was yes, but not in the same category. It's South Carolina, and then there's a gap, and then there's UCLA for me. But I got to give Mark credit. UCLA is getting closer and closer to me. I think Mark might be right. I still have South Carolina in front, but that gap is shrinking. Every time I watch UCLA, I realize more and more how dominant this team is. And boy, I'd love to see them play each other with Lauren Betts and Camilla Cardoso. How fun would that matchup be?
Right.
At the end of the day, though, I need to see it, and I would need to see UCLA win that matchup before I change my opinion on who's the top team, because I don't see really what as much as UCLA has, what do they have that South Carolina doesn't have? South Carolina, elite defense, as always, under Dawn Staley. They have this elite post presence on both sides of the floor. And unlike last year, they have shooting now. Tahina Pau-Pau, Raven Johnson has turned herself into a shooter, which we should probably talk about on this pod. Good for her. You know, as I love to say.
Nothing good for her.
I don't know. I need to come up with a new phrase.
No, honestly, it's good.
It always
like,
gets
she's
you.
Shooting, was, she's distributing. Yeah. Like it's a lot of good stuff going on.
This is we have to give her credit because last year she didn't shoot very well. Obviously, Iowa took advantage of that, and that whole video went viral. And Iowa guarded her correctly. Like there's no way around it. You know, that's how you should have guarded her last year, but that's not how you can guard her this year. She took that. And instead of, you know, like taking it all personal and being all upset about it, she said, I'm going to go in the gym. I'm going to make myself a better shooter so people can't do that to me next year. And she did it. And now she's a good shooter. And that's the correct response. If you have a weakness in your game, go work on it, fix it. And that's what she did. So amazing for Raven Johnson. I love to see her knocking down shots this year.
I also think that people forget that like players develop, especially like when you're in college.
Yeah.
Like, you have so much time. Like it's not out of the question. Even when you enter the professional leagues, like there's always room to grow. And this is my philosophy in life too, to get all philosophical for a second. But you can always grow. You can always improve. And this is a great time to do it. So yeah, no, it's been super cool. I think I would agree with you that I would have South Carolina ahead of UCLA. I also wanted to say, I know it took us 20 minutes to mention him, but like if I've been in his house the whole time, does it just count as like an automatic? anyway, shout out Mark Schindler, yeah, very smart basketball mind. Yeah, it does. Let's move on to South Carolina versus Utah, because let's talk about Utah for a second. We kind of talked about her, I think it was last week or the week before. Alyssa Peely had a very dominant performance, putting up a 40 piece against South Carolina's defense. How did the Gamecocks overcome her performance, and what did you kind of take away from her in this matchup against South Carolina?
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy who like looks at a game and only focuses on the team that lost, because at the end of the day, South Carolina was the better team. South Carolina won the game. They deserve all the credit. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I was so impressed with Utah, especially Alyssa Peely, for them to be without their second best player on a neutral court against the best team in the country, and that defense to go play the way they did and be within single digits, I think really spoke volumes that this team isn't going anywhere without Gianna Neepkins. This team is for real. And Alyssa Peely, to me, she defies logic, because that frame and that height is not supposed to work out the way it does for a basketball player in today, in like, especially, you know, in the low post when you're, what is she giving up, 6 inches on Cardoso or something like that? But I think one thing that maybe kind of gets overlooked sometime when we talk about basketball skills and different people's strengths and weaknesses and skill sets and things like that, the number one by far most important skill that a basketball player can have is being good at putting the ball in the hoop. Like that's just the goal of the game. And it's not just shooting, it's not just being a good shooter. Peely obviously can shoot too, but just finding a way to get the ball into the basket, however you do that, whether it looks pretty or ugly, whether it's orthodox or unorthodox, she is so good at that. And you can talk about athleticism and passing and rebounding and all these other skills, but at the end of the day, if you know how to put the ball into the hoop, you are going to be an elite basketball player. And Alyssa Peely just finds ways to do that. She's got Cardoso on her, and she's has these spin moves and all this footwork to get around her and neutralize her shot block and go to the other side of the rim. And then she steps out and hits threes, you know? And so it's just, she's a fun player to watch. And I think she's going to be, you know, all season just carrying Utah's a great team. And that I don't think they're going away just because they lost Neepkins. Like you said, injury, hate to see it. I hate that injury, but Utah's sticking around.
I haven't, like, that basketball philosophy, I've literally been talking about this for years because it is so true. And like you said, it is so underrated to just, like, appreciate players who will do anything to get the ball in the basket. Like, that is such an important part. Those are the leaders that drive a team. Like, that is the anchor of a team. And, like, not, like, it's been a while since I've compared it to the Raptors, but, like, it's very much, like, compared to, like, Kawhi Leonard on the Raptors in 2019, where, like, he was that person that no matter what could get the ball in the basket and just adjust to what the defenses were throwing at him. And just being that versatile as a basketball player is so important. So I'm so glad you said that. I was like, for the YouTube people, I wanted to like just like do this with my hands. Just be like praising Cal, because like, yes, like that's absolutely you hit the nail on the head. And I love that you said that. But yeah, incredible performance from her. Obviously, unfortunate they lost against South Carolina. But if you're going to play a really great game and be super competitive against a team, it's going to be like you're going to be happy that it's against South Carolina, because they really balled out. All right, the last one. UConn defeats North Carolina. Did you have any takeaways from their win and maybe them trying to get a little bit back on track?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, Paige Beckers' defense. And Paige Beckers was, I think, the story on both sides of the floor. Obviously, she scored, 26 points or something like that. You know, they were calling her on the broadcast Vintage Paige, which in some respects feels a little funny to me because she's 21 or however old she is. It's like,
I know, that's like kind of a funny name to say.
Yeah, right? It's like when Dana Taurasi drops 25 and they're like Vintage Taurasi, except she's like half her age and calling her Vintage. But it's also kind of true because Paige Beckers' best year so far of college was her freshman year. And this game was looking like her National Player of the Year self. But her defense, I think, and I'm not just saying like, oh, she had 3 steals and 4 blocks in the box score. Like, that's lazy. But she defensively right now is sort of the de facto power forward on this team. Just based on size and height with the starting lineup that they're going with now, with Aubrey Griffin coming off the bench. You basically have Aaliyah Edwards and then Paige Beckers is often has to guard the next biggest player in this starting lineup. And so she was guarding Alyssa Usby. I thought she did a great job. And she's the second tallest, but her frame is not thick, obviously. So for her to be able to ask to, and on offense, obviously very different role, but on defense right now, she is kind of having to guard some bigger players. And I think she's doing a great job. So that's kind of my biggest takeaway, honestly.
I love that. So yeah, those were the 3 matchups that happened on the weekend. They all played at Mohegan Sun Arena, which I also thought was really cool just to see college games happen in W arenas. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, those were our Coasting Through College game recaps. And now we're going to move on to exam season to wrap up and tell you which games to watch. So we've got 3 on the dock. If you're watching on YouTube, I do have TV for the last 2, but it took us a little bit of finding to find out where these matchups are being broadcasted, but I got you. The first one is Creighton versus Marquette. That'll be on Flow Hoops on December 13. Cal, grading these 2 teams so far, who or what has stood out to you? Because I feel like they haven't been talked about a lot, and they've been in the rankings consistently.
Yeah, I got to see Marquette in person the other day, and still a little bit of pain because Illinois State had a shot to beat them and came up just short at the buzzer. But it's a good squad. It's a good squad. And this is going to be a fun matchup because both of these teams, they're teams that can really shoot the ball from several different positions. Not going to overwhelm you physically, but they both move the ball really well. They find open people. Both of them are running a little bit more this year. Creighton isn't like an up-tempo team by any stretch, but a little bit less slow than they have been the last few years. And Marquette's definitely pushing the pace more. So it's teams that match up really well, I think. And it's just going to be a fun watch. So Flow Sports, you know, it is what it is. I know a lot of people don't get it, but if you can get it, go find it and tune in to this one.
Yeah. So there we have it. Creighton Marquette on Wednesday, December 13 on Flow Hoops. The next matchup, Louisville versus UConn on December 16. It's going to be on Fox Sports. Or is it just Fox or Fox Sports? I think it was just Fox.
This one's on Fox.
Okay. This one's on Fox. Player matchup to watch for this one. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to what I've already been talking about. Paige Beckers, I think she's going to be matched up with Nyla Harris, assuming they go with the same starting lineup. And Nyla Harris isn't necessarily like an elite scoring threat or anything. You know, she's not quite averaging double figures, but the majority of the production that she does give you offensively comes in the post, which I think is a little bit different than Alyssa Usby for North Carolina. So if we see that matchup, and who knows, maybe they change the starting lineup or maybe they bring in Aubrey Griffin early and kind of mix things up. But That's something that I'm going to be watching on that end of the floor to watch Paige kind of hold her own down low.
Okay, I love it. Louisville, UConn, Saturday, December 16 on Fox.
I do want to actually, before you move on though, I actually should bring up another thing I'm watching on the other side of this one. Is that Louisville, they're not going to let you up from three, but they really are good at getting you in foul trouble, getting into the paint and drawing fouls. And UConn is not a very deep team, obviously, even when they're healthy, but especially with injuries. So that's something that I'm watching for. If Louisville is going to win this game, I think they're going to have to get UConn into their bench a little bit.
Make your free throws, kids. But anyway. Make your free throws. Yeah. So let's move on to the last one, UCLA versus Ohio State. On Monday, December 18, and that will be on Fox Sports 1. I guess things to watch in this game, that Ohio State press versus UCLA, how will Ohio State defend Lauren Betts, and just kind of like UCLA having all these shooters as well, and like Charisma, Kiki, London Jones, who I thought did great in their last game as well too. But yeah, what are you watching out for? Because I know I'm looking for that Ohio State defense.
Yeah, so Ohio State has not been very good at defending down low really at all in the last couple of years. And the, you know, what they do is they press you and they don't let you even get to that point of being able to feed the post because they turn you over. So if UCLA breaks the press, it's over. They have no chance, in my opinion, Ohio State, because Ohio State can't match up with UCLA, especially with Lauren Betts in the post. The press is going to have to work. UCLA has faced one pretty heavy pressing team so far this year in Niagara. Obviously, Niagara is not Ohio State. It's a little bit different, but UCLA handled that one pretty easily. And so I think I'm going to have to see it from Ohio State. Right now, I would definitely lean that UCLA is going to be able to get through this press, be able to get Lauren Betts the ball on the back end of it, and they're going to have their way. Ohio State has been a little bit underwhelming this year, and this would be a great game for them to turn it around, because I think a lot of people had some really high expectations of them, including myself. I'm not sure they've lived up to those yet. They got a lot of time, and it's got to start in this game.
Yeah, that's all very true. So, yeah, those are our three games to watch: Creighton, Marquette, Louisville, UConn, and UCLA, Ohio State. And then the TV is Flow Hoops, Fox, and Fox Sports 1. You're welcome. But those are all the games that we want to talk about today, as well as the WNBA draft lottery. Super exciting stuff as we're heading into the end of 2023. We might have a very special episode next week, TBD. We will let you guys know, just to give a little bit of a tease, to look forward to Coast to Coast next Wednesday. Make sure you're tapped into Her Hoop Stats throughout the week as we continue to cover the college season. You can follow us on socials at Her Hoop Stats. Make sure to also subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe on YouTube as well too, because I feel like you get even more out of the pods when you watch us on YouTube. It's just a really fun time.
We like to talk with our hands and put stuff on the screen. So
yeah, that's a great description. I'm going to put that on socials. We like to talk with our hands and put stuff on the screen. That's us at Her Hoop Stats. But I've been Karina Mustafa. You can find me at KarinaMM. You can find Calvin at CWetzel31. And we will go coast to coast with you next Wednesday.